You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Yes, yes, Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Goodyear Hotline. The best thing about hosting a radio show is you can change course anytime you want. We stumbled into a great topic here, so let's do it. My friend Dave Rothenberg, who works in New York, a talk show host in New York, is a crazy fan of the New York Giants, and they stink, and they suffered an embarrassing and horrible loss on Sunday, and he was talking on his show this morning about how his 11-year-old son asked him if he has to keep rooting for the Giants. Dad, can I root for another team? And we got into it a little bit here, and we're throwing open the phones to you on your response to that. If you are a parent and your team stinks and your 11-year-old son or daughter says to you, Dad, Mom, do I have to keep rooting for this team? What is your response? So Rich is our camera operator, and he's a fun guy, and he loves the Mets. He's a crazy Met fan. And he actually took it to a different level. He said, if one of my kids said to me, I want to root for the Yankees, I would cut them off. And here's the interesting. So that took it to an even worse level, right, Hembo? That's sleeping with the enemy. If you're a Yankee fan and you decide you want to root for the Padres, or a Met fan, and you decide you want to root for the, I don't know, Mariners, because you know, I don't even know what reason you might have for that, but you just decide that, that's one thing. If you decide you want to root for the arch enemy, that would be something else.
If an 11-year-old Stevie Greenberg had said, I no longer want to root for the Jets, and this would be in Tom Brady's heyday there, I now want to root for the Patriots,
yeah,
that's another level much worse endure this thing?
No, no problem. No
Come
problem.
On, right?
He has an uncle who is from Boston, and we would have just shipped him off to live with him. Would have been that simple. My brother-in-law, Lewis, is from Framingham, Massachusetts, and he's a crazy fan of all the New England sports teams, which is a living hell being in the same family with him over the last decade, because all they do is win. Between the Red Sox, the Bruins, the Celtics, and the Patriots, I could throw up from this. I'll tell you a quick story about that a little later as well. But I promised phone calls on this, so let's do it. So it is time for you to chime in here, as you can be a part of Greeny Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's back, so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. All right, Bubba, who's first up?
First up, we're going to talk to Rob.
All right, Rob, you're on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Rob, if your 11-year-old says, Dad, do I have to keep rooting for our team? What's your answer?
Absolutely not, Greeny. Here's the story. I got two kids, got an older son, and I got a younger daughter. I raised them good Catholic kids, prayers, and Irish. Raised them as Irish fans, solid Irish fans.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter comes to me 2 years ago with the Alabama jersey on, hollering about the Roll Tides and the elephants and all this other stuff. I've all but disowned her on Saturdays. and worse than that, she has the upper hand on me with the last ass-kicking they give us in the frickin' playoffs. So that's where I'm at. I've all but disowned her with the Roll Tides and the elephants and all this other stuff. We are from Alabama. That gives her no excuse. She was raised better than that.
That is brilliantly done. Rob, God bless you. I love you. I love this. This is exactly what I was looking for. Bubba, who's next?
Next up, we have Mark.
Mark, you're on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Mark, take it away.
All right, Greeny. So I'm a lifelong Cleveland Browns fan.
Okay.
I've suffered through a lot of pain over the past 20 years. And I have a young son who's just now getting into football. He's watching games with me. And I say there's some merit. There's some life lessons you can take away from rooting for a perennial loser.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my son will be a lifelong Browns fan because he's going to learn that you can't always win. And sometimes you never win. So, and the point is that eventually the juice is going to be worth the squeeze. Rooting for a team over and over that, you know, has a hard time finding success eventually, just like look at the Browns this year. You know, their outlook is great. The juice is finally going to be worth the squeeze. You know, I'm 36 years old, and I've hardly ever seen the Browns be successful in all my adult years of rooting for the Browns, mm-hmm. and maybe this year is finally going to come to fruition.
But I love it.
Again, you know, there's some merit in learning that you can't always win.
No, I agree. Misery is an enormously important part of growing up. Like, you have to be. Let me say this. I don't have any other experience. Like, I don't know what it's like to root for a team that wins. I have no understanding of that. So that, Mark, you and I have that in common. I mean, I can answer my child honestly. Like, I have no idea what it's like to root for a team that wins. I only know this. It stinks, but it's who we are. It's not changeable. Greeny on ESPN Radio. Bubba, who's next?
Next up, we have Cully.
All right, Cully, what team are we talking about?
We're talking about the Steelers.
Okay.
My son is 7. I grew up, everything he ever had was Steelers, and last year he just decided that Tom Brady was the coolest thing on the face of the earth. I don't know where he got it from.
Oh, no.
So
oh.
I actually went and bought him a Brady jersey for Christmas last year, and he got a Build-A-Bear. He went to Build-A-Bear and got a Tom Brady Build-A-Bear, Patriots bear, and I was like, you know, hey, you got to do what you got to do, man. You're 7 years old, and when you realize what's right, you'll come back around.
Oh, no. Cully, I love you, but I hate the call. I hate the call. You can't contribute. You can't give the kid the Brady jersey for Christmas, can you?
No, at 7 years old, you can't enable your child in that way. No, no.
I agree.
You're right.
Like,
you're right.
If your son says, Dad, Cully, I just want to eat candy for dinner. Like, I don't want to eat the chicken that your mom made. I don't want to eat the vegetables. I don't want to eat any of that. I just want to eat, you know, Rice Krispies and bonbons. What the hell did I just come up with?
Bonbons?
I was trying to come up with
But the Steelers are good. Like, he has no excuse.
They've been good. The Steelers are good. They're good. Cully, your son's team is good. Tom Brady is an outlier. And if your son, I will get to the point I was trying to make here, is if your son says, all I want to eat is sugary snacks for dinner, you have to explain. That's not good for you.
What is a bonbon?
I think it's a candy, but I'm not 100% sure.
How is
it
that
might
the
just
second,
be French for
how
candy.
How is that the second candy that came
I have
to
no
mind?
Idea. I have no idea where that came
I'm
from.
I'm looking this up.
I honestly don't. Bubba, who's next?
We've got George.
All right, George, what team are we talking about, George?
Okay, so I'm a Patriots fan. I was a kid. My son, after spending some time with his maternal grandparents, comes home with Dodger paraphernalia, telling me that he likes the Dodgers now.
And what'd you do?
So, I spent some time with him, sat him down, gave him the talk about baseball and what it means, what it meant to me and the family, and then I put my underwear in my fist. And I sponsored his Little League team, thanks to the Padres, and I won my kid.
Okay, fair enough. I was having a little trouble understanding him. What, Bubba, what team did he say? He said his kid wants to become a Dodger fan. What team is his team?
I think the Padres.
The Padres.
The Padres. Well, that's got to be
pretty bad.
There was
a lot going on with the G-man.
Yeah,
but
we had a lot going on with that call. Let's try another one, Bubba. Go.
Let's go to Chad.
I thought we'd lost Bubba for a moment there. Bubba,
yeah, we're strategizing
in his
back
euphoria.
Here, don't worry.
Chad, you're on ESPN Radio. Chad, what team are we talking about?
So we're in Iowa, and we don't really have pro teams. We have a mix of the Bears and the Packers, and I'm a lifelong Packer fan, like my father.
Mm-hmm.
And my son, he's 10, and has decided he wants to be a Seahawks fan. And it's because of the colors. I'll give him that. And tell you what, it's still fun to watch it with my kid. Bears really haven't been a rival. Seahawks are about a team that I hate just as much as the Niners. So when you hear your kid tell you you're a Seahawks fan, I guess at least he wants to watch the sport with you. I do have a 5-year-old that's a diehard Packer fan with me, so we like to rub it in. But
all right. And look, here's the thing, Chad. Now you know which one is your favorite kid. Like when people ask, do you have a favorite child? The answer is yes. If one of them is rooting for the Packers and the other one is rooting for the Seahawks, it's easy to decide which kid that, you know, is because
I don't even know what I would do. Like, I honestly don't know how I would handle that. So, I married a Chicago girl. She likes the Chicago teams. There's not a lot of rivalry there. There was, you know, back in the day between the Knicks and the Bulls. That was a heated rivalry, but that feels like 1,000 years ago. If I had married a Boston girl and she wanted to wear like a Brady jersey all those years during on Sundays, I honestly don't know what I would have done. I really don't.
Twice a year, every year, my wife and I fight practically every time.
Who is her team?
The Giants.
She's from New Jersey.
And their family's had season tickets since like the 60s.
Oh.
It runs deep there, deep. So whenever kids wind up making their way to us, that is going to be
a quandary.
Who are
your kids going to root for?
I'm going to want them to root for all the Philly teams.
No, I get it. But who are they going to root for?
They're growing up in Jersey. They're probably going to end up rooting for the Cowboys.
I'm afraid that I'm going to be breeding Giants fans. That's not something they would have ever imagined.
That would be complicated. I love the topic. Dave Rothenberg, I love you. I love these. I love the calls. Thank you, everybody, for calling in with these, because it's something I was not planned for the show today, and it's something I never really gave a lot of thought to. Like, we did a comedy sketch years and years ago. There was a comedy, this online comedy, I forget what they were, but they came to my house and we shot like a sketch, and they used my son in it, and the joke at the end is Stevie says to me, "Dad, can't we just root for the Giants?" But it was clearly a joke, and it was it was written, and it was funny. If he had ever actually said that, look, the Giants have won Super Bowls in his lifetime. So if he had ever said to me he wanted to root for the Giants, it would have been okay. There are plenty of other people he could have lived with. As we continue, an extraordinary record was broken this weekend, and no one said a word about it. We'll do it next on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. The best days in this job are the ones where everything goes completely off script. So we just had unbelievably cool phone calls on this really fun topic about what you do if your kid, when he or she is 11 years old, decide they want to go root for a different team than the one into which they have been born. And I feel strongly about this one. You don't allow it. Under any circumstances, you don't allow it. In the meantime.
The Scoop.
So did you see what happened over the weekend? So Notre Dame won a pretty big football game this weekend, right? That was a good game, a good win. One of those spots in the schedule where you think they might wind up losing, and they wound up winning in a definitive sort of statement performance against Wisconsin. The final score was not indicative of how close that game was in Chicago, because they had two pick sixes like in the last couple of minutes. But whatever, that's a big win. And with that win, Brian Kelly, their head coach, surpassed Newt Rockne to become Notre Dame's all-time leading coaching wins. That was very poor English. But you know what I meant. He has now won more games as the head football coach at the University of Notre Dame than anyone ever, with 106. Now, some of those have been vacated by the NCAA, but that's nonsense. On this show, we don't pay attention to that. He's won 106 football games that were actually played while he was the head coach there. And it does make me think, and this is something, Hembo, you've said many times, no coach that I can think of gets more criticism relative to performance than he does. And there are obvious reasons for it. One, especially earlier in his tenure, he had something of an unlikable quality about him on the sideline. He would berate his players so
visibly, and you would, you know, I think a lot of people were turned off by that. He has acknowledged that, and I think does a lot less of it now. So that's the first reason. The second reason is that so many people just can't stand Notre Dame, and so they don't want to say nice things about anybody. But the reality is Brian Kelly suffers from one thing and one thing only, and that is that he isn't Nick Saban. The reality is if you look at Kelly over the last, is it 5 years? There are only four coaches in college football who've won more games than he has. Saban, Dabo Sweeney, Lincoln Riley, and Kirby Smart. That's it. He's next. And they play a tough schedule every single year. You know about Notre Dame. You don't need me to tell you. And they have some intrinsic built-in advantages that have made people dislike them for a long time. But they also now have some intrinsic built-in disadvantages. At the end of the day, Brian Kelly is an elite college football coach. And for a variety of reasons, people just don't want to give him that kind of credit. Over the last 5 years, Kirby Smart has lost more games. Lincoln Riley has lost as many games. Dabo Sweeney has only lost one fewer game. Saban just skews everything. What he's doing is not supposed to be possible, which brings me to my next thought. I watched a little bit of Clemson NC State over the weekend. And I was excited about that only in that I had Desmond Howard on Get Up on Friday, and I asked him, give me the upset special, and he said NC State is going to beat Clemson, and then he turns out to be right. Clemson finds itself outside the college football playoff race for the first time in 6 years. This is another example of Saban skewing everything. Because all the conversation is, ooh, what's wrong with Clemson? What happened at Clemson? Oh, no, it's the end of Clemson. Hold on. Clemson has been in the playoff every year since 2015, which means they've been one of the four best teams in the country 6 straight years with 2 championships. Go back in the history of the sport. Show me when Bear Bryant did that. Show me when Joe Paterno did that. Bobby Bowden, Tom Osborne, anybody you want. Saban has made the extraordinary seem very ordinary. We poo-poo what Dabo Sweeney has accomplished. We poo-poo what Brian Kelly has accomplished. Because you say, well, look at Clemson. Look at Alabama. Alabama's ridiculous. He has completely shifted everything. You know what Nick Saban is? Nick Saban is Tiger. Tiger at his apex made everyone else, their accomplishment seems so pedestrian. Like someone would have a year in which they like won 3 events and a major, and you'd be like, yeah, he had a decent year. That's a freaking career. Tiger just did things that you're not supposed to be able to do. And that is what Saban has done. Now let me go to I don't even know this. I don't know that Nuno and I have ever had this conversation, but Nuno, you hate everyone and everything. Let me just guess, you have some issue with what I just said. Do I have that right or no?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
This belief that I hate everyone, I'm just might be miserable. But, like, I don't hate everyone except for the Cowboys, the Eagles, Washington. They're irrelevant.
I feel like you hate a lot of college teams, too. Don't you hate college coaches and teams?
No,
this guy's a fraud. That guy's a fraud.
I hear this. Okay, now you. Yes, now okay.
So
but there's some fun. There's too much fun in, right? Like, yes, there's too much fun in over certain guys, Jim Boeheim, Coach K, that type of thing. But yes. I agree with what you said.
You're a beautiful
greatest
man.
Greatest college basketball
coach.
Now that
I think about it, I actually do hate everyone. Yeah.
He hates everyone. I mean, Nuno hates, or at least it manages to find flaw in literally everyone. And it should be reminded to those of you, who are, the overwhelming majority of our audience is listening on the radio, that Nuno also facially resembles Kim Jong-un. Okay. Now, having said that, Hembo, you were trying to convince me before the show this morning.
The Scoop.
That there is a story on Alabama's game this weekend that everybody needs to know. I will give you 1 minute. Go.
The story, Greeny, centers on Ole Miss quarterback Matt Corral. Ole Miss plays at Alabama this weekend. They're a 2-touchdown underdog. Right now, Ole Miss's quarterback Matt Corral owns +180 odds to win the Heisman. That's tied with Alabama quarterback Bryce Young. Greeny, since 2008, so since his second year at Alabama, Nick Saban is 86-5. At home, 86-5. He's so good at home that we individually remember the losses.
Sure.
And 3 of those 5 losses, the 2019 against LSU, 2012 against Texas A&M, and 2010 against Auburn yielded the Heisman Trophy winner when they won that game. So Burrow beats Bama, wins the Heisman. Johnny Manziel beats Bama, wins the Heisman. Same for Cam Newton. Now, Matt Corral is going to essentially have to pitch a perfect game. But what history says is, if he does so, he may very well win the Heisman Trophy.
Okay. I like it. I'll buy it. I do have to ask you one thing.
Mm.
You use interesting words when you talk about sports.
Like
you used yielded and you used owned. So when you say Matt Corral and Bryce Young own plus 180 odds, that may be grammatically accurate, but that's not the way human beings talk, right? Bubba, have you ever said,
come on,
have you ever in your entire life said, did you know that this year Francisco Lindor owns a 212 batting average? Like, you've never said that. You'd never say owns. You're the only person I know who says that. You're
no.
the only person
owns?
Who would say
no, that's ridiculous.
These three guys who had these monster games yielded the Heisman Trophy winner.
I don't think I say anything he says in my life.
That's right.
Okay.
You just have an unusual
you've
way
struck
of
a nerve
talking.
Now because yeah. very often on Get Up,
yeah.
I ask a trivia question every single day, and it is often about a record. Who owns a record? You never, ever, ever read the word.
No.
You always say have or has,
because,
and it drives me freaking crazy.
Yeah, but that's what you do.
But that's the word. You own a record.
No, you don't.
Yes,
you don't
do.
Own a record. First of all,
what do you do? Have a record?
You have
the
record.
You own the record.
Who has the record?
Who owns the record?
If I were to say, you don't own a record.
Yes, you do. You own a home, or like you own a boat, or you own a stupid Dak Prescott jersey. You own those things. You also have them, but own is the better word to use.
Here's the thing. You're so wrong because A, that does sound ridiculous, even in that context. B, we're not talking about the owner of a record. We're talking about odds to win the Heisman. He owns plus 180 odds to win the Heisman. Are you insane? No one says that. That's just not the way a person talks.
Okay, fine. I'll give you that. In this case, perhaps own was the wrong word choice. But next time, when I ask a trivia question about a record, you're going to read the word own and you're going to swallow it.
There's literally zero chance of that.
You must be real fun at a bar when guys are just hanging out talking about
seriously.
Sports.
Seriously. Can you imagine? I mean, seriously. I would say I own a 0% chance of saying that on television. The other thing I quickly say is under no circumstances would I ever say, and in all three of those circumstances, the winning quarterback, it yielded the Heisman Trophy winner. It did not yield.
Pick a verb.
Anything.
Pick a different verb.
Yeah.
The guy who won the Heisman played in those games. Those guys won the Heisman. The three quarterbacks who beat Bama
won
the
Heisman. You yield on the street when you're making a turn.
That's correct. I mean, it's insane. Am I trying to get in on the highway in front of you?
I mean, I grew up diagramming sentences. I speak that same way.
I know.
What's so wrong with
you
that?
You yield on 84 when you're getting onto 684.
That's such a Connecticut
joke.
Oh my God.
He grew up diagramming sentences. It's sad. Coming up next, we will explain how it went from impossibly bad to worse in one NFL city. That's next on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so if you have had a chance to check out any of the television performance here of this program, which is daily streaming on ESPN+, you can watch it anytime you want. then you don't already know that Hembo is wearing a cowboy hat today, and he looks like Woody from Toy Story. And the reason is because his Eagles lost to the Cowboys last night. So Bubba is celebrating and doesn't have to wear an Eagles jersey. And Hembo is devastated and does have to wear a cowboy hat. If you would like to see it, and also to see what a complete nutjob he is, I can tell you I posted a picture of him in which I asked him to smile. And his response, he just looks, I don't even know what else to say. You look like a person that if I saw you walking down the street, I would cross to the other side.
For sure.
It's the most frightening and ridiculous looking facial expression. Let me put it this way. The hat you're wearing is low on the list of things that I notice in that picture. But one way or another, it's on Instagram at ESPN Greeny if you would like to see it. Now, having said that, to the victor goes the spoils. Bubba, I'll give you a minute to wax rhapsodic about your Cowboys who are genuinely off to a great start.
First of all, Greeny, have you seen the movie Cape Fear with Robert De Niro?
Yes, I have.
I think that character kind of reminds me of Hembo.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think great win. I'm wearing my Dak jersey 40% of the week, which Hembo hates. Wore it yesterday, wearing it again today. But yeah, the big thing for me going into this game is I wanted to see a dominant win, take control of the NFC East, and that's exactly what we saw. Dak was great. Defense continues to be much improved. Loving what Dan Quinn's doing. They made the change from Mike Nolan. Clearly that wasn't working, so they switched to Dan Quinn, which he's been great. Loving what he's doing. Obviously Parsons, great. Diggs was awesome, so he seems like a great pick. Kellen Moore making great plays, play calling on offense. Liking what we're doing with Pollard and Zeke. Zeke had a great game coming there. Still a little nervous about Mike McCarthy. I feel like he still makes some questionable decisions here and there. That may cost us at some point. I saw Dominic Foxworth last night tweeted he thinks Kellen Moore might be the head coach as early as next year if Jerry makes a move there, because Kellen's, he's going to be skyrocketing right up there. If anything, the only thing I'm nervous about is Mike McCarthy. I think everything else is set up for success right now, and we got a big game against Carolina coming up next week, and hopefully we can win that as well.
I think that's fair. It's a big game in the NFC, the unbeaten Panthers, the 2-1 Cowboys. Here's the other thing. You referenced something that is a sore point for Hembo, and that is that because the Cowboys play on Monday Night Football, is it possible you will wear the Dak jersey 60% of the days of this week, which is to say,
yeah, it's true. Yeah.
You wore it Monday because they were playing that night. You always wear it before the game.
Yep.
You wore it Tuesday because they won last night.
Right.
And now will you wear it again Friday leading into the weekend? That's the question.
I guess so, because they're playing against Sunday against Carolina. So I think we're looking at a 60%er.
Here's what I think. Nuno, I don't know what kind of budget we have for this sort of thing, but I think we need to get Bubba a few more jerseys. Like, get Fanatics on the line. I don't care who you want, but get him. Let's get him a Parsons jersey. Let's get him a CD Lamb. Who's your favorite player on the offense besides Dak? Obviously, we love Dak. He's the quarterback, but we need a little variety, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm loving what CD brings.
So you could get a Lamb jersey. Just walk around with a shirt that says Lamb on it.
I have a Dez and I have a Witten jersey, so I have too many of expired jerseys. I got to freshen them up.
Right. I remember that. I remember you used to wear the Dez one. I remember that one year you won a bet. Mike had to send you to a playoff game, right? Like
correct.
All expense paid?
My dad and I, we went to first class to their playoff game against the Lions. That was the year the Cowboys were supposed to be terrible. They lost their first game, and then they won like 9 in a row and ended up winning. They were like, whatever it was, 11-5.
I remember you beat
year.
The Lions on a terrible call.
Yeah,
I remember that game.
They picked up the flag.
I remember that vividly.
Yep.
And then I think the next week was the Dez Bryant game, right?
Right. The next week was Green Bay.
Dez caught the ball.
Yep.
So okay, one way or another, we're going to get him. I think I want to try and get him another helmet. Another jersey.
Yeah, we might have to up it to 100%. I think.
Yeah. Then you could wear one every day. I really believe that.
Yeah,
I think you should be wearing
to 100
at least until they lose. Like you have to do it. It's working. Like you have to. I told you the story. And the Jets made the playoffs. They made a deep playoff run. My family, we ate in the same restaurant ordered the same food every night.
Right. Yeah.
Every night. It was a 3-week run. I had that spaghetti and sausages at Pete's Tavern literally every night for 3 weeks until we lost it on the A.J. Dewey game, which don't get me started. But the point is, I think you have to wear a Cowboys jersey every single day. So that's the good side. But, as was once brilliantly written by Charles Dickens, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Hembo is an Eagle fan. What are your thoughts on your Eagles coming out of last night?
I'm really upset, Greeny, at the head coach. So Nick Sirianni this week, as I'm sure you saw on social media, wore a Beat Dallas shirt, which Philly kind of rallied behind, which was sort of a cute idea until we got slaughtered last night. But he also came into the game with an outrageously bad game plan. So Eagles running backs yesterday combined for 3 rush attempts in the entire game. That is the fewest by any team in any game over the last 20 seasons. Jalen Hurts was making his 7th NFL start. Philly ran 53 offensive plays, and 50 of them were either a Jalen Hurts pass or a Jalen Hurts run.
Mm.
2 weeks ago, we talked about how he said some really smart things after the Eagles beat the Falcons about how he adjusts his game plan accordingly. Well, as it turns out, he prepped really well for the Falcons, but you could not have drawn up or imagined a worse game plan to beat the Dallas Cowboys than what he showed last night. And also, can we get the highlighter out of the visor? It's very distracting to me. Like, what is he preparing for finals? I don't get it. That I also don't get.
Okay.
So I have an issue with the head coach.
Let's address the first part of that. They're putting a lot on Jalen Hurts. I feel a little bad for Hurts, and here's why. Yes, he falls into this opportunity to become a starting quarterback, which, I mean, I don't even think for almost any of his college career people thought he was going to be in the NFL. But he showed you something at the end of last season. And now he's got kind of a one-year tryout, which we get. But it is worth reminding everybody, this guy has started 7 NFL games. Trevor Lawrence has started 3. Zach Wilson has started 3. I mean, he's basically a rookie. And they are putting everything on his plate, every single play, to your point, is either a pass or a Jalen Hurts run. So I do think, to some degree, that it's a little unfair that he's going to get judged. And look, it just is life. They're going to wind up with 3 first-round picks. They're going to wind up with, depending on the outcome of a bunch of other things, Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson or someone else next year, I think, unless this guy is able to prove to them in this one season that he should be their guy. And I just feel like that is, it's off to a bit of a questionable start. And some of the reasons for that are beyond his control.
He is being set up to fail. And if it has looked this way so far, it's going to get a lot worse because the Eagles play the Chiefs next, and then they go to Carolina, and then they play Tampa, and then they go to the Raiders. The Eagles are going to be 1-6. The Eagles are going to be 1-6. There's just no way around it. And so what you're going to start, and after all these Eagles fans were so optimistic after week one, it's going to go away really, really quickly. And all the conversation in the city is going to turn to who's our next quarterback. And that's the worst possible thing for this kid. But that's just how it is in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that is a brutal next month. Home Chiefs at Panthers, home Bucks at Raiders. Boy, that is brutal.
Who are they beating? Who are the Eagles going to beat?
There's no reason to think they're going to win any of those games.
I mean, you get the Chiefs on a short week. Who cares if it's at home? Carolina
it's your own short week, to be clear.
Right.
Yeah, and they're not beating the Chiefs if they had a month.
Carolina has outgained their opponent by 600 yards in 3 games.
Yeah, Carolina, I'm not completely sold on, but that doesn't mean they're not better than the Eagles.
The Eagles will be an underdog in that game.
Oh, for sure. They'll be an underdog in all these games.
Almost no shot to beat Tampa. And the Raiders are 3-0 and have probably the best strength of record in the NFL. The Eagles are in really rough
shape. Is
that
Tampa game a Thursday?
The Tampa games, yeah, the Tampa games.
That's
the
best time to get Brady on a Thursday. Like, those quick turnarounds, I think, do not serve them well. The Bucs are playing this weekend. The Bucs is the Bucs game with New England. So there is a game in between. I was going to say, if you're getting them coming off the New England game, you know, maybe you get them at sort of a good time, sort of the kind of week where they look past their next game. But you're not getting them that. You're getting them the week after that.
And this depresses me so much because the Cowboys, if I'm just to be honest, they're going to have this division pretty much wrapped up by, like, I don't know, week 10 or 11. If we're just going to project these things out based upon what we've seen through 3 games, I'm not sure the Giants are going to win a game anytime soon. Washington is probably the most disappointing team, perhaps in the entire freaking league.
I agree with that.
The Eagles have that one win, but it's starting to look like fool's gold based upon what we seen the last 2 games and the future schedule. The Cowboys are going to run away and hide from this thing, and we're going to talk about them every single day on this show.
I think that's
right. I'm miserable.
Right. I get your misery, but Jeez. It is kind of it. So the Cowboys, let's see their next schedule. Okay, I'm going to say the name of a Bubba, you tell me, win or loss. Are you ready? This is the Cowboys schedule. At Carolina.
Carson.
Just getting my already obtained another jersey.
Oh, so. He's got another.
I got another Dak one, but I got a white one. So.
He's got. Yeah, that's right. You got a home and away.
We dug this one up in the studio, so we're already looking good for 100% this week.
Okay, so yeah, I want you in a. I want you in a Cowboys jersey every day.
I might have to. I'll bring back the Witten. You know, maybe bring back the. We'll do some things
until they lose a game. I believe you have to be wearing a jersey every day.
Panthers. Ugh. Please, W.
That's a win.
Sam Darnold, like we're worried about him.
Okay, fair enough. Is there an early line on that game yet?
Stand by.
Give me a line on that game while I say the next game is home against the Giants.
next.
At the Patriots.
Ooh. That's a win.
Yeah, it's not Brady anymore. That's Mac Jones now.
Yeah. Mac was at a terrible game this last time.
At the Vikings.
The Vikings were my team that's going to make a run here, but the run ends week 8.
That is at the Vikings. That is a Sunday night on Halloween. Halloween night.
Bubba reminded me of Caliendo in that sketch when he does Gruden. He goes, win, win.
Right.
That was him the whole way through.
Yeah.
Dallas is a 5-point favorite against Carolina.
Dallas is a 5-point favorite at home against Carolina. I'm trying to think, what was the Carolina win that was sandwiched in between? They beat the Jets.
New Orleans shorthanded.
Oh, that's right. They played the shorthanded New Orleans, and they played on a Thursday night against Houston.
Right.
So what Vegas is telling you with that line is they really don't know what to make of Carolina, and they don't trust Darnold, and I don't blame them on either front. Oh, and no McCaffrey. Right, I forgot. McCaffrey is hurt. Boy, this does set up nicely. Cowboys are going to win that game.
Yeah, man.
So the Cowboys are 2-1. They're going to be 3-1. They're going to be 4-1. I think at Patriots, at Vikings, let's say you split those. That's 5-2. Then home against the Broncos is not an easy game. Broncos are pretty good. But then you get the Falcons and then the Chiefs. I think the Cowboys are in good shape. I agree with you. The Cowboys are going to put this division on ice unless Washington just turns it around. I am flabbergasted by Washington. I mean, they're making me look like a boob. I'm the one who told you Washington football. Everyone is sleeping on them, how good they look. And their defense stinks. How did that happen? They have all these good players on their defense, and they drafted another one, and they acquired a corner in free agency. They did everything all right on that defense. I know Fitzpatrick got hurt, but that doesn't have anything to do with their defense. They were losing 21-0 against Buffalo before I turned the game on.
They rank 31st in defense right now.
They rank 31st in defense. Who's last?
Seattle.
So that's terrible. And they've played good teams. I mean, Washington has played good teams. They played Buffalo, who has a good offense, and they played – well, the Giants aren't a good team. The Giants only scored 14 points against the Falcons.
The Giants are not a good team.
And Washington week one, they played the Chargers. No, they've played bad teams.
What is Dallas's margin of victory in the division going to be by the end of this season?
Oh, if I put the over under at 2.5 games, what would you take?
I would take the over.
Yeah, there's 17 games now. You can pull further away.
They're probably going to win 11 or 12 games, right?
Is there any other team in that division that will even sniff 500? There is no more 500, but that will sniff 9-8?
I think Philly is the likeliest to do it, but they're going to be 1-6.
I still think Washington is the likeliest to do it because they're playing so far below.
That's probably true.
Their talent level.
That's probably true.
I mean, at least maybe that's a good example of someone, in my case, me, who is just not willing to believe what their eyes are seeing. But at some point, I have to admit, I admitted I was wrong on the Cowboys. I have to admit I'm wrong on Washington. They look awful. They haven't gotten unlucky. They've gotten steamrolled. They're insanely lucky to have a win. A guy on the Giants who lines up in the middle of the defensive line, who has literally zero chance of timing the snap and thus breaking through the line and blocking a kick, winds up jumping offside. And otherwise, Washington's 0-3. So... they've just been a huge disappointment. All right, we got to get Bubba some more jerseys. I like it, Bubba. So let it be written. You're going to wear a Cowboy jersey every day this week, yes?
Don't threaten me with a good time.
I like it. I love it.
100%.
The good news is Hembo gets to take the hat off. This was great fun. Thanks, everybody, for the phone calls. They were great fun today. And we will see you back here same time, same place tomorrow, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN and also available wherever you get your podcast.